listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, June 22nd. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. Glad to be here and happy summer. We've just gone past the summer solstice.
We have. It was just yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
It was so. Yes, indeed.
Well, it is a wonderful time of year, and I'm going to continue vamping on this as I get my program to come up because it just shut down on me.
Oh, no.
But anything you have to say on the solstice would be just fantastic.
Well, you know, we've had a couple. I've been having a few little glitches on my computer tonight, too. And I guess our show last week didn't record, and another computer glitch. But those are the gremlins that are in the Mandela effect that we're going to talk about tonight. Did it really happen? We think it happened, but there's no evidence it happened. Do you remember that correctly? We're not sure. I just had an interesting thing. In the studies that I'm taking right now in social psychology, a memory isn't a memory until you retrieve it and however you perceive it to be. I went, whoa, got to think about that one. We'll talk about it later.
Looking forward to it. Well, give me just a
second.
Well,
more.
No, it's just I lost all my show notes because for some reason Google Docs went down and then it wants me to sign in, but it's telling me that my password's incorrect, which is all kinds of odd. And yes, unfortunately, we did lose our actual recording last week. It was a storage issue on saving it on the local drive, and it didn't save in a format that.
See, Michael, it's gremlins. These are Google gremlins.
I am telling you, of course it's going to happen right then, right?
Yeah, of course it is. Everybody, some of you who sent your email address to Michael, you would have received an invite to our Facebook page, The Spirit of Life, where we can talk about this evening's show throughout the coming week or any other topics that you might have in mind. We now have a Facebook page. So we can carry on our discussions. That's exciting, Michael.
Absolutely. And it's, well, thank you for that. It's still in the very early and preliminary stages. But so I know I am looking to put a link in the chat here, too, but I'm multitasking a little bit too much right now. But looking forward to the group because it's going to give us an opportunity to really kind of engage on, you know, a deeper level and engage on different topics and get some feedback from you. So as I get my second Google verification code... At least they're taking my security seriously. I appreciate that.
That's
now,
a good thing.
If it tells me that I can't use the same password that I had last time, I'm going to be very upset.
Well, I just am bringing up the Spirit of Life broadcast on Facebook now. I will put the link in the chat. Here we go. Copy.
Praise be unto metaphysical humanism. We are in. Google has allowed me back into the universe. They have allowed me to access my intellectual property that I had recorded on Google Docs in my saved file on the Mandela Effect and other things we're going to be talking about tonight.
And we're so good at filling space, aren't we?
Well, I can, like I've joked before, I can usually throw some hot air out there when I need to. But thank you for that. So,
that's great.
What a great start to this evening. I'm not even going to attempt to recover from that intro. We're just going to roll with it. And tonight we're talking about the Mandela Effect. And this is something that I think there's a lot of interest in because it directly relates to our reality, and that is what metaphysics is. It's trying to understand human awareness, understand our reality, and understand how we absorb information, how we retain information, and, you know, how we experience the world around us. But, you know, Dr. Vicky and I were looking over some classic examples of the Mandela Effect before, and I tell you, we are, at least Dr. Vicky and I share a common universe on a few things. I do not remember Jiffy at all. That just is not not in my memory banks.
Jiffy. It's Jiffy. I don't care what they say.
I don't know. Jiff. It was just always Jiff for me. But
there we go.
But, you know, the more interesting thing is, you know, why? What is it? Is it, are we actually transitioning dimensions? Are we getting a peek into something? Is it, you know, a mass memory issue? You know, what's going on here? What are your thoughts, Dr. Vicky?
Well, let's go back for a moment. The reason a few years back people caught on to that, and the reason it's called the Mandela Effect is because years ago people remembered Nelson Mandela having died in prison. However, we know he went on to be the president of South Africa after he released from prison, but people had different memories. And a woman, I'm sorry, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, started a website, and it's since been taken down that I've seen because she didn't manage it long term. It kind of took a life of its own. And that's why I can't look her up. But if you do find her, please let me know. And so this extraordinary things that she had going on with an audience all over the planet about memory and what people remember.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest one was the Berenstain Bears. And of course,
Berenstain.
I remember, I read my kids the Berenstain Bears.
Well, I think, and I was never into that, and I'm pretty sure it was Fiona Broom.
Is thank you.
Who you were thinking of. I yes, wasn't 100%, but yeah, that's who I had in my notes there. But the Berenstain, I think it's because it just, it's less, you know, common. Berenstain is, you know, just, that is, or Berenstain, you know, is just more of a common thing. But, you know, one of the interesting ideas I heard about it, and, you know, thank you for taking us back to that initial foundation of where it came from, the term Mandela Effect, and I think it has something to do with kind of not only the way that human memory works, but also this interconnectedness that we kind of share today. So, you know, something like the Mandela Effect didn't seem to exist prior to the modern age where we have everything, you know, digitally recorded to reference and things. So I wonder how many times things changed, or, you know, is it... what is going on? You know, there's a lot of memories. There are some pictures that people have shown of, you know, different things that, of course, I think are created after the fact or are knockoff type things. But
well, Michael put a great link in our Facebook page, Spirit of Life Facebook page, about to Good Housekeeping. It's got 50 examples in there, which is it's a great link. I'm not going to go to it right now because my computer's decided to take on money of its own, so I'm not risking anything. No.
Oh, we're just having a great night here at Spirit of Life.
It is so well, and with the conversation.
Yeah.
Michael, I got to tell you, because I'm borderline dyslexic as a girl, I had to memorize things repeatedly, and they would stick in my brain. I had to find all kinds of techniques to, you know, impress upon my brain. And so for me, especially when it came to the church, I had to memorize biblical passages. You know, you say your prayers and the songs and so on. The most astonishing pieces of the Mandela Effect was biblical passages and how they had changed.
Hmm.
And even the Lord's Prayer had changed. And I'm saying, no, 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 no. So I have a little collection of Bibles because I have studied different kinds of religions over the years and I find them interesting. And they were all changed in my books. And I'm saying, so what's wrong with my brain? So very recently, though, I was watching a movie, a biblical passage, exactly as I remembered it from when I was a girl. And I went, oh, whoa, okay. So I go back. Now, I don't think I'm losing my mind here, but I go back and I'm seeing now that some of those things have changed again in not all of them. A few of them had changed to what I remember as a girl. And And it kind of freaks me out because I know Dr. Dan has just said he's studied forensic psychology. And as individuals, you know, we have false memories.
Oh, absolutely.
And our minds do a lot to protect ourselves. And we have trouble with memories. And I get it. I do.
Well,
I get it.
You know, a big reason that, you know, eyewitness testimony and
yes.
things like that are just not as reliable as people think. Even people that have the best of intentions can remember details incorrectly, can remember faces incorrectly. All of these things are possible.
They're all possible. However, I have been observing this, and I retain things better emotionally. I can't tell somebody necessarily what I said in a reading, but I remember the essence of energy going with that. So I remember emotions big time. And so it's like, who was it who played? He was an opera singer, played in Mayberry.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I mean, you lost me at opera singer, and we just got worse from there.
Anyway.
Oh, wait, Mayberry from Andy Griffith Show?
Yes, Andy Griffith Show. Thank you.
Who was an okay? We need to put everything on the side burner right now until we figure out who was an opera singer on the Andy Griffith Show.
Well, he didn't do opera on the show. He was that on the side. That was his actual profession. He was in acting. Shazam, Shazam, Shazam. That's what he said. You know who I mean. I'm having trouble with my memory right now.
Memory can be such a tricky thing. Are you thinking of Don Knoxville? Not Don Knoxville.
The other one? It's in my library.
Yeah,
in my library.
Right?
It'll come. Anyway, I was so sure. Jim Tabor. Thanks, Ione. Oh, my God. There you go. Jim Nabors, what it was. And... Yeah, everybody's correcting in the chat room. Thank you. Jim Nabors. So because I was so fond of him, and he was one of the very first to come out as a gay actor, and I mean, that truly was mind-boggling. When he died, in the 1980s, I'll have you know, a bunch of us talked, and I was devastated. I thought, oh, bless his heart. Now, 2 years ago, he just died in Hawaii and lived out his life. And I'm going, wait a minute, hold it. And I talked to a couple of friends of mine, and we all remember being very upset. So I'm going to my emotional memory, you know, of saying, what a shame that he died. And he died of HIV, and it was a big thing, you know, in the news. Now I can't find a darn thing about it, but apparently he lived quite a long life and died in Hawaii. That's not that long ago. And it does freak me out that... Mm-hmm. We can have such different memories of things. So is there really some kind of weird matrix shift in other realities? Are we really that, you know, mistargeting our memories and how we relate to things? Is Google lying to us? I don't know. But
yeah.
It really has me confused at times.
And, you know, doing some reading and just searching around online, because I've, you know, known about the Mandela Effect and heard different things about it all over, left, right, and center on, you know, different documentaries and shows, different things like that. But, you know, one of the best things that I've heard is something on the Live Science article that I had also posted in the Facebook group. And in it, they're talking about, like, gist memory. And I'm not saying this is... it for everything, and I think that there are, you know, I think that human beings, we don't remember things because we need to remember the details. We need to remember how we felt about them at the time. We need to remember how it affected us, and so that's the purpose of memory. It's not meant to be total clear, you know, recall. It's meant to be a survival mechanism. So we tinge things with our perceptions, with our emotions, and what we're feeling at the time. But there's also this idea called gist memory. And what they were talking about in that was, you know, just the idea that, you know, we have a recollection of things generally, but we can't remember the details. So our imagination fills in some of the blanks. So, you know, like when we were talking about agreeing that we were from the same universe, Dr. Vicky and I, because we both remember Curious George having a tail, right? Yes, we do. I feel like I even remember using it in the, you know, in the book and the cartoons and things. But, you know, according to, he didn't. But that's actually cited in the article as, you know, we have these kind of recollections. And so we fill in the blanks of our, you know, more vague recollections. And, you know, most monkeys have tails. So why wouldn't this monkey have a tail? So our imagination kind of fills in that blank. Which, to me, at least for Curious George, it kind of makes sense in that example, and it makes sense that if we are not remembering something with very specific detail, and we kind of, you know, try to think back to it, and yeah, I think it was that, and you kind of solidify it more as you think on it more, and your mind fills in more of the blanks the more you recollect on it, I think that sometimes it can be inaccurate. But then that doesn't explain certain things like the, you know, the story that you relayed earlier, Dr. Vicky. I don't think that would cover that situation at all. So
this is where it does get confusing at times for me. And I look, even in the last few weeks, I have to tell you this. I have read a news story and say, wow, that's an interesting. I go to the page, I read the story. A week later, there's a same story pop up like it's new with today's date on it. And I'm going, that's old news. That was last week. So I go to it and I read it and I thought, but I just read that story. Now, maybe that's not a Mandela effect, but maybe that's something else confused with something else. I'm not sure. But it confuses me because I'm thinking, is that the news agency just trying to fill space? Or is it, I don't know. I get confused. And it'll happen even if I think, I saw that news story a month ago. Mm-hmm. Like, why is that news today? And so is there something else going on?
Well, you're already intuitive. I mean, might it be something? We talked about dreams and how people always have dreams or basically, you're living in the moment, and you realize, in the moment, I have dreamed this. I've seen this before. Could be a variation upon that as well, that what you were talking about there.
It could be. It could be, but then I have to ask myself what day it is. You know,
yeah.
I mean, what day is it today, Michael? Are we really doing this program
tonight? I mean, we're trying to do this program, so so far it's been rocky, but...
Good one. I think that we have to consider, at least in my view of our mixed realities, is we have to consider alternate dimensions of space-time. And in the event that as we are learning more and more about quantum physics, quantum entanglement, and of course we can go back to Tesla and all the things that were withheld and now it's starting to come out, could there really be these slipstreams of reality kind of folding in on each other occasionally? You know, I have to wonder about that. That's all.
Yeah.
Like maybe the Matrix isn't so far-fetched. I wonder where we're always, and of course Wendy just said, are we jumping dimensions? That's what I wonder too. And also, there's a new show out on Netflix that I have not yet watched, but it's about the coming technologies of AI and gaming and how it's three-dimensional. And you can, just like the holodeck in Star Trek. And I'm almost a little nervous to watch this because I wonder what is our reality going to be like in those confusions of what's real and what's not. Will being on the holodeck be more real than, you know, going about living your daily life?
Because it's more consistent.
But that makes me question these possibilities, and as Ronaldo just said, alternate realities, perhaps.
Yeah.
I wonder, yes, we have technology and mass communication now, which we didn't have before that we're aware of, and the Mandela effect and Fiona bringing this to light in the last 10 years or so, could it have been going on before? Perhaps. Absolutely, perhaps. There's actually even time travel with, you know, people finding black and white pictures of somebody dressed, you know, in today's clothing in a 1930s photo. I mean, there's lots of that that goes
very forward-thinking fashion people. But
yes.
Or, but you know what really gets me is thinking like... I was going to say on that front, time travel-y, what gets me is the story of a gold chain found in a lump of coal. Or, you know, these different kind of ideas. Or let's talk about, well, this could be very well, you know, ancient alien-esque is in, as well. But, you know, the what appear to be aircraft that are in Egyptian hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
That's absolutely always an interesting one.
You see, and that's where I do question. I think it's easy for us, and although absolutely relevant, to go into the psychology of memory. I totally get that, and I'm as fascinated with psychology, sociology, you know, psychotherapy, social psychology as anybody else, the study of metaphysics, because I like to be grounded. I like to be sensible. But there's a missing gap here for me that I always am in question of myself, Michael. But when I had something so ingrained in my brain, you know, so many things as a kid, and I'm so visual and sensory, and then somebody to tell me, you know, 50, 60 years later, well, that's not true, it does make me wonder if there isn't something to the folding or, you know, overlapping of dimensions. That's all I'm saying.
Well, there's so much to existence that we can't possibly know, and it absolutely could be true. It's at this point beyond our perceptions. And, you know, there's some great things going back and forth in chat right now. Well, first off, before we move on to this next direction, which I think is a wonderful segue on this topic of the Mandela Effect, of the idea of this, you know, overlapping realities or, you know, things folding in on each other. Let's just talk about Dr. Edward pointing out that he can't hardly wait for holodecks to be a reality. but I would say, and I apologize if I had missed this, but you were talking about, you know, waiting for your holodeck to be a reality, to be consistent, and perhaps more than the actual reality that we have. But the concept could be that we are in a holodeck. We are in a simulation where whoever is running the simulation is just changing things up on us as an experiment. Which is just a thought. But the other angle on this, and this is something that, you know, was first brought up by Dan, who had posted that, you know, he gets a lot of questions about, you know, the missing planes and what could have happened, you know. And Wendy had mentioned the Bermuda Triangle, and Dr. Ione had mentioned that there are several other places similar in the world, which is a great thing to point out. And I think it was, as Dan had pointed out, MH370, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that the airline that went down in the Indian Ocean?
I'm thinking of the same one. I'm going to agree. But Dan will answer here in a minute, I'm sure.
Yeah, but so, you know, an interesting thing, because we've heard these stories. There are plenty of examples. You know, one of my favorite Bermuda Triangle stories is this plane that was coming in for a landing. And I think it was either Bermuda itself or one of the islands there in the Caribbean, right in that triangle. But it was coming on approach. They had it on radar. They saw it. Then there was some, you know, I don't know. It was storming, obviously. But the next thing you know, they can't see it. It's not on radar. There's no trace of it, no evidence, no crash that they can find. And it is just a fantastic story. It's kind of on the fly, but I encourage anybody to go out and, you know, look into some great stories. Somebody had done a dig into the Bermuda Triangle, and the Bermuda Triangle is a pretty massive chunk of ocean. Mm-hmm. A lot of strange things have happened there. But what they found is a lot of strange things have happened in a lot of places. So, yeah, a lot of strange things have happened in the Bermuda Triangle, but not statistically more so than in a similarly large patches of ocean elsewhere in the world. So we talk about this idea of, you know, interlapping realities and things folding into one another. Did that, you know, do these planes pop out in different universes that are similar to ours, but off because there it is, the Berenstain Bears, or rather, what was it, Berenstein? I'm sorry, I never watched it when I was a kid, so I don't really know that one.
Well, Well, I had a collection of those books. I love the rule that you're on, Michael. I'm going to get back to it. Embarrassed to Embarrass, I read to my kids. I had to write it out, blah, blah. It's not Berenstain. In my reality, it's Berenstain. It's probably always going to stay that way. But I do wonder about, you know, talking about different things going missing. Is that a fold of reality where somebody just vanishes but into a different reality? So, I mean, unless you can find traces of a crashed plane, mm-hmm. which happens. But when something just vanishes, like it just vanishes, could that be a fold of, you know, alternate realities? I wonder about that. I think it's sensible and easy enough to look at life three-dimensionally and that this is the only reality and that, you know, our memories are just playing tricks on us. And mm-hmm. there might be some great magnetic deep pole, you know, something in the Bermuda Triangle, like other places on the planet. And Iona's asking, have you heard of the Alaska Triangle? Yeah, I've a lot of strange stuff goes on over in Alaska.
Well, you know, Alaska is next to Canada, so, you know, some strange stuff is bound to happen.
Well, Dr. Zach is saying, wouldn't it have to appear somewhere else? And yeah. not necessarily if it's in a different reality. You know, a very interesting program, and I can't remember the name of it. It's a series where, you know, they come back after 5 years. You know, they were on a plane.
Was that the 4400? No, that's too many people.
No, that's the other one. But, you know, the plane vanished. 5 years later, they all appear. Like, and to them, it was, you know, 5 seconds ago. But to everybody else, you've been gone for 5 years. So, you know, where have you been? And so it does. See, I'm thinking if a human mind can conceive of that thought, mm-hmm. is there a possibility that that could be true? Thanks. Wendy says she watched that show too. I love that show. So could it be, if we can think it, could it be a possibility and manifest? Thanks, Zach. That's what it's called, Michael. Manifest. And Mike is saying it was actually 7 years they were gone. Okay. You know, whoa. But I remembered it as 5 years, 7 years. That's something I will stand to be corrected on, because that's not something that is embedded in my brain as, you know, that's an actual. So it's very interesting how we have to look at this. In my view, we have to look at this from so many different angles. I don't think it's just a three-dimensional, this is reality and that's it. I think there's a lot more going on than we can conceive of. Look how many planets and black holes and universes that we now know of. And it's expansive. So is consciousness and alternate realities not also a possibility? You know, that's just what
well,
I have to
and,
about.
Well, hey, you know, the sky's the limit. And we're kind of just going, yes, we kind of intuit that there is so much more to this reality than what our, you know, traditional senses can tell us. And of course, you know, even the concept of, you know, the quantity of how many senses is still debated, not even in, you know, metaphysical or, you know, spiritual crowds. But they're already talking about all these different senses that we don't acknowledge, but that we have going on all the time. That, you know, equilibrium would be a sense that, you know, we don't count among the major five. But this,
and I think with memory, we are now acknowledging cellular memory. We're acknowledging a little more of past life memory. Mm-hmm. So if you are trying to retrieve a memory, or let's say you're looking at an illness, where did it come from? Not that it's necessarily important to find out, but if you need to. But there's also epigenetic memory. And science now says, and I believe it's more, but science can now look at 14 generations of emotional memory being passed down.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, you can see it in repeated examples all over yeah. the planet in different cultures. Yeah. And of course, you know, it doesn't mean that an individual necessarily acts a certain way, but it has been said that, you know, there are certain peoples and certain cultures that just don't behave the same after, you know, certain events. Here in the Americas, obviously in North America and the United States predominantly, we have, you know, issues with just horrible things that have happened in our history that have happened relatively recently, in terms of slavery, in terms of, you know, colonization. But these things have happened in many other parts of the world in many places throughout time, and you can see it in each case where the people change after it. It leaves a mark. It leaves a... how do I want to say it? You're absolutely right on. There are different ways of looking at memory, and there are different ways of looking at reality, and one of the things I was trying to allude to earlier is that we all notice that there's this, you know, something more going on beyond the veil, that, you know, this reality isn't just what we can see, feel, and touch. But we don't all know what it is, and we're all kind of going, doing our best, and we're trying to navigate this reality the best that we can. And some of us are more intuitive than others. You know, I give you, you credit for...
In keeping with that, Dan says, Dr. Dan, thanks for being here tonight. He says they are doing studies, and for those who don't know, Dan was a flight attendant for 30 years, safe to say. Retired from that, went into a new profession of counseling, et cetera, and health and well-being, and he's awesome. He says they're doing studies on those of us that have flown for years, that we are aging slower because we are going through these areas dimensions, this being international flying. Now, that's fascinating.
That
what does that do to the body? And then Dr. Edward follows up in the chat with, at some level, our bodies are sensing and monitoring magnetic fields and radiations. We're not consciously aware that this is going on, which is very true. So that's... You know, there's something to that in these magnetic forces. So, again, we're just, you know, barely on the surface of these studies. I happen to think there's a lot of people who know more than they let on, but and aren't telling us. But just the same, I think that we have to entertain the ideas that there is some other fold or overlap in these, you know, levels of reality.
Hmm.
So, and again, you know, we're referencing when we say the Matrix, we think it's so like take a pill in the movie. And that's not quite the way I see it. But I have had this odd experience many years ago where I was standing overlooking a river in the city and I could see all these grid lines in the air. Now, were those, and it only lasted a few seconds, but I went, whoa, that was trippy. Kind of like in that third eye alter your vision. And could that have been, it was at a time, by the way, before cell phones, but we did have pagers at that time. Could that have been radiation from pagers and things going through the air, or is that actually some kind of universal grid that for that... Just that snapshot that I tuned into, and it just gave me a different kind of view, you know, of what this reality could be. That maybe it's not as real as we think it is.
Well,
I don't know.
You know, reality doesn't stay consistent. I think we can all agree to that, just in our perceptions alone. But the last thing I'll personally say on this, and what coming, you know, about what you're talking about, it has been interesting where you can look at studies that had been done decades ago, and it was good science, and it was replicated elsewhere, and then they do it today, and it's just the results come out differently, and they don't know why, and. It seems like, you know, the parameters of our reality do shift over time. And, you know, there's no hard science to this yet. It's all on the periphery of our awareness and our knowledge. And go ahead.
Well, there are some things. Like this, the module that I just went through was the Milgram experiment, the Ash conformity experiment, and the Stanford Prison experiment.
Some rough ones.
Yeah, and Dr. Kelly was very good at giving those examples through the course study in IMHS. But this goes really in depth to it, and they have, because there was fewer ethical boundaries back then, they got away with more. Since those experiments, there have been some ethical boundaries, but the repeats within these newly defined ethical boundaries in the last 20 years, the results appear to be the same. And I found that really fascinating, because I would have thought that, you know, the onset of the internet and such, the human behavior at that level hasn't really been altered, even though, you know, the evolution of our cultures, of our, you know, societies and our intelligence and communication, but the basic human nature has not necessarily changed.
No.
And that blew my mind. Now, other things do change because we're looking at science differently, but it's also about who is looking at that science.
True. So, and, you know, it, well, it's just immensely complicated because when we're talking about,
when we
you know, it, when it, when we're talking about, you know, those kind of modern studies in the modern age, and I think, was it the Ash conformity study that where mm-hmm. they basically had somebody that was responding to an authority figure telling them that part of this experiment they had to administer an electric shock. And they kept amping
it
up.
That's the Milgram.
Milgram, okay, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. Milgram experiment, where they keep amping it. And I think it depends on who the authority figure is. Because while a lot of people fashion themselves as nonconformist, they do typically, and I'm not necessarily speaking about everybody, I think that there's other, you know, a slight majority or a large minority of people that do consider themselves counterculture or, you know, individualistic, but they just respond to different alternative authority sources. But they follow the same patterns, just with a different kind of cosmetic difference. And I think...
Well, and part of what was determined is that culturally, because Eastern cultures are more collectivism and we're individualistic individualism, and so some of those factors do play in. But when it comes to the folks I know who have been to China, lived in China, agree that across the board UFOs are just there. They see them all the time, you know, no big deal. I would question, do you feel the same way about the Mandela effect, or, you know, you know, just some other thing. So culturally, do we agree more for the sake of the culture in the group?
Right.
Or because we've been exposed more and we just are okay with it? Do individuals question things too much and decide what group they're going to go with? You know, so it's really in that peer pressure. So you and I can have this conversation. Everybody in the chat room can join in it. But if you're talking to a different kind of group, i.e. religious, they're going to say we're all crazy.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's a great way to put it, too. And, yeah. You know, it is also imperative that we realize that, you know, whatever culture that we're inhabiting currently is not the only one out there, that there are a lot of different perspectives and different insights. And I think that was a wonderful addition about, you know, kind of the idea of UFOs out in the ether there. But, yeah, this is a great topic. I know we kind of had a bumpy start, but we kind of got into a good groove of talking about alternate realities. And here we are, well into our card time, and we have people chomping at the bit.
We do. We got some names in the chat room for those in the archives who are listening for the first time, or those who are new in the chat room listening for the first time. Michael pulls an Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card designed by Dr. Kelly, and I pull a backup tarot card, and we see what the story is. So I have Dr. Ione up first, and I want to say thank you for your email, Ione. I guess some things that were said to her last week really helped her in how events played out in this, you know, in the days since. So I really appreciate that feedback and taking the time to email me, Ione, and anybody else. You know, you're always feel free to email me anytime. So I appreciate that. So what have you got for Ione?
For Dr. Ione, a class act, I have number 21, Insight and Wisdom.
Good one.
Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions.
Well, I got the Six of Diamonds in support of that I own. So I want to go with, in this case, with insight and wisdom and, you know, finances, his value for value. Oh, Wendy. Wendy just said Dr. Aon had this card last week. He's having a little flash wondering about that. So value for value, are you being compensated in a way that you feel is fair and equitable? Or, you know, in a way that you feel, you know, you're satisfied with? So let's just have a little talk with yourself and decide if that's something that you want to approach. And having known a little bit about what Ione's had to take on in her work in the past week, it would make sense, Ione, that you might want to ask or entertain the idea of that value for value in what you're having to put into your work these days. So that's what I see there.
Very
okay,
nice.
We have a lot of names coming up in the chat. So
all right, so we have
Dr. Mike is next.
I was just about to say, and I have number 30, Greatness to Deliver. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness, and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world.
Oh, Mike, the eight of hearts, or the eight of cups, it just says to me you might feel like you're in the dark a little bit. Like one minute you might think you have your finger on the pulse, and then you just not sure. Now I often see those times as letting them ideas kind of settle and take shape in your head. And sometimes it takes 2 or 3 days of life experience carrying on about your life, and you go, ah, light bulb goes on. So assured that if you're wondering where you feel most purposeful, is that it's right ahead of you. You just have to use your radar, your intuition, and let the moon guide you, as I see here. And it'll come to you, not far away either. You say, aha, that's what it was all along. Hope that makes sense.
It. All right, we have Dr. Edward next. And Dr. Edward, I have number 29, Pay It Forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now?
The Two of Clubs or the Two of Wands, in support of that, Edward, you know, the first thing that comes to mind here is you might feel like somebody owes you, or there might be a situation where you feel that you've given and it's not been reciprocated, but it still means you carry on doing what you do in your way. So looking into the future, looking in the world, and just being okay with who you are, even though it didn't come back to you in a way that you had thought. So that's kind of where I'm going with that for a moment.
All right.
Whoa, I think you're wondering the same thing I am, or thinking it, Michael.
Yeah.
Wendy says, Mike had that card on May 18th. She said, we're on a roll. Dr. Edward had this card on May 25th.
Yeah, just a little less than a month ago. We're getting some repeats. I mean, Wendy pointed out Dr. Ione getting that card back-to-back and week-to-week.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've seen that before, but very interesting. All right.
Maybe we have a loop of time.
Well, now
space.
I feel like there's pressure. So now, I mean, I hope that... let's see. Let me scroll back up from the chat. Yep, we have Dr. Jeff next. And I kind of hope that you got this one recently to see how long we can keep this thing going. I have number 39, education. Let's see. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find the answers on your own. Look for lessons in life experience, situation, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Jeff, I got the Three of Clubs in support of that. And, you know, think of the visual on this, somebody who's looking into, you know, the future, looking into where you are. And I feel like you may feel with the three, you may feel like you have completed some things, but what more? Now what are you going to do with that? And the first thing that comes to mind is maybe there is actually a course that you want to take now. Something else that you want to, you know, pull it all together and at least keep your mind, you know, focused and going forward and see where that takes you in the future. So I think there's some, Jeff had this card on March 23rd. Yes, indeed. I love this. There we go again. So education for you, Jeff, looking into the future. What else do you want to take for a course or learn about? That's exciting.
It is exciting. I love it. All right, so we are on a roll, and we have Audra up next, if I'm not mistaken. And Audra, I have wild card number one, Paradox. Let's see. I have it open, then I start listening to the discussion. I kind of close the book again. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus, new perspectives are discovered.
You know, I pulled the Eight of Spades, and I'm going, well, what is that? And then I said, I got to pick another card. I got to see what's going on here. It's the Ten of Clubs, and that's pressure. So what I'm thinking here is how people might ordinarily see things, which might in any other good day be good advice. I think you're getting not good advice for you. So in other words, if you stay the main course, how others, and I'm hearing a lot of chatter in my head, how others think that you should go forward, it may not be right for you. So, you know, sometimes an opportunity is in being able to say no. And that's what I want to say to you, that going the direction other people might want you to go is not something I think you're going to feel good about. And I really go way out on a limb to say that. But it's kind of double whammied me here, that paradox. You know, life is that paradox. And do what's good for you, what you feel is good for you. That's where I really want to go with that, a reinforcement of that.
Good message. All right, and we have Charles next.
We hope it makes sense.
All right. Let's see.
Charles,
oh, I was just catching up on a little bit of chat. But for Charles, I'll swing back around on that later. Charles, I have number 20, deliberate intent. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. But it's not magic. It does require effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Jack of Diamonds in support of that, Charles. So if there's something here you're looking at work-wise, career-wise, financially-wise, I'd say zero in on it and go for it. I see a green light. So I'm going to say even if it's a promotion at work or something else that you want to expand for yourself at work, or it is that you're looking for something new, a little bit beyond where you are at the moment, this is the time to, you know, take that adventure. So I'm encouraging you that I think the timing is right. So, but it has to do with, again, a kind of work-related, career-related in that sense. So Hope that makes sense to you.
All right. And we have our card keeper, Wendy, up next. And what I'd been kind of checking in chat and got distracted there for a second, Wendy pointed out that Audra had not had this card. But she stands corrected because Audra had had perfection 2 weeks in a row back in April. So another hot run there. But that seems to have done it for our streak. But, Dr. Wendy, let's see what you, or Wendy, let's see what you got tonight. It is number 7, self-mastery. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery towards the path of self-completeness.
Wheel of Fortune, Wendy. Good time to take chances, assert yourself in new ways. I know it sounds hokey and cliche, but the universe, all the elements are right there for you. So self-mastery and Wheel of Fortune together is an affirmation that of you being more yourself, more who you are. And Wendy just said that's a new card for her. And that's great because I think you're at this turning point. Some things might have clicked into your mind or clicked into your brain in a way of saying, oh, I never saw that. I never saw myself that way before. Oh, yeah. And feeling bold. And that's what I want to say here is you feeling bold and brash and, you know, and positive about yourself. And it doesn't mean arrogant, aggressive, any of those things. It just means be you. That's very cool.
Hmm. And, you know, I don't think you can go wrong being you, Wendy. Thank you so much for everything you do. And I'm glad to hear that those cards, you know, were what you needed to hear from us. So, yeah. All right. Ronaldo, wild card number 2 for you, my friend. We have, and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
The Tower, Ronaldo, and in this case, it could be the and then some for yourself. You might, and the first thing that comes to mind here is that you could be feeling a little bit tired, a little bit worn, and we all get those times. I tell you, we all have those days, sometimes a week of it. So if you're feeling a little bit weathered, this is the time when I like the Tower because the foundation stays intact. It's just all the fluffy stuff above starts to change. So, you know, in Dr. Kelly's words, it's just reordering some things. And so giving yourself that little boost of energy to rethink in order to relieve some stress from your life and being kinder to yourself. And I really want to say, Ronaldo, maybe you haven't done a few things for yourself recently, distracted, and it's just, you know, it's okay to close the world out for a day or two and say, nah, this is me time. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm feeling. The and then some and the Tower is specifically for you, Ronaldo. So I hope that makes sense to you.
Well, you know, I think...
Sorry, Michael. Wendy just asked the question.
Yeah.
Did our roll-on card stop because we brought attention to it? Good question.
Very interesting. But
M2.
But it's, you know, and, you know, after we were on a roll for a minute, I usually pull one, you know, to have ready. But I often absentmindedly shuffle while I'm kind of waiting. And we were on a bit of a roll, so I've stopped shuffling. Maybe I should have kept shuffling. It's all on me. I'm sorry, but no,
it's your fault.
It is. Most things are. I try to take it.
Kidding. But, you know, it's interesting you say that because ordinarily I give these cards a big shuffle before the program, and I neglected to because we were talking and doing computer stuff. So I just took them out of my box. I have this wonderful little wooden box with engraving on the top that I've had since 1985. And I pulled my cards out, and I just spread them across the table. So I did something a little different tonight, too.
Interesting. Well, tonight is a night for differences. We completely threw the intro right out the window, said, hey, who needs a smooth start to a broadcast? That's not our style. And, you know, I think it's been kind of a fun kind of just that kind of night, that kind of conversation. And
I agree.
We're talking about some of the most interesting concepts around. We're talking about the Mandela Effect and possible alternate realities. And if not that, the mysteries of human memory, the depths of the human mind, that in and of itself, even if we're not dealing with alternative dimensions, is a wonder in a depth that we can, you know, just dive into. But personally, I am just fascinated with the concept of, you know, realities kind of folding and intersecting. You know, interesting because if you haven't seen, and, you know, I'm not here one to plug sci-fi or, you know, comic stuff or nerddom. It's not me, and longtime listeners know that that's not who I am. But I will talk about the most recent Doctor Strange movie in the Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, I gotta watch it. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, itty bitty little meanie spoiler. That was the talking about the intersection of realities. Which, so it's, you know, something that's kind of in the consciousness too. And it just a wonderful horizon that we have to look forward to. And I don't know if it's going to be 1,000 years or hundreds or what, but we are going to come to a point where we have a much deeper understanding of these things. I'm sorry, Dr. Vicky.
No, I would like next week, if it's all right with everybody, to talk more about quantum entanglement. I know Dr. Dan signed off for the evening, but I had a visit with Dr. Dan on Skype. We go back a long way now through the school, I think 10 years. So we've remained friends. Wonderful man who's going to be putting up his own school next year, and I'll clue you into that. But I did not know, and he only discovered in the last year and a half or so, that Dr. Douglas Kelly graduated from the same school in the same year as Dr. Dan's sister. Dan was just 5 years behind Dr. Kelly in the same little town, in the same little thing. And Dan was saying, you know, his mother probably shopped at my mother's stores, and we intersected. And here they are all these years later.
Yeah.
Where Dan signs on to the school. I go, that's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
You know, that how we intersect with certain people, and are we all connected anyway? And that entanglement. And I'm really hoping Dan will come on and tell the story himself next week, because I'll be visiting with him again this weekend.
Well,
and ask him to do that.
I was going to pretend to kind of poo-poo the idea and say, no, I don't think we should do that. It'd be funny. But I don't think I can't even pull that off now. I'm too invested. I'm interested. I'm hooked. You couldn't pay me to do another topic at this point.
There we go. Quantum entanglement it is, next week.
All right, I'm looking forward to it. Well, you know, it's been a good night. It's been an interesting night. It's been a fun ride. It's been a great conversation. And thank you to everybody that has contributed in the chat. I had, you know, while we were kind of flipping around, I went in. We already have a few people on the group. Love having you. Want to see it expand. Even hope to see some of our archive listeners. I do have a little quiz that people would have to take if they're not already part of the One Planet community. So if you don't get an invite and you want to join, if you're already part of the One Planet community, you're already in. You can just join without having to go through my little quiz. But if not, you have to answer just a couple questions. But I think you're going to get them right.
And then if you have friends also who want to join in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Feel free to send them an invite.
Yeah, and just know that if you're part of the group, you have to listen to the broadcast, or else we're going to know and we're going to kick you out. No, I'm just kidding. But but it is going to be a great time, so looking forward to it. Looking forward to next week. I mean, I couldn't even think of a better send-up than that. So thank you, Dr. Vicky, for that great topic idea. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully we can get Dr. Dan with us here. And any last thoughts before we sign off, Dr. Vicky?
Nah, just be kind to yourselves, everybody. Do something nice for yourselves this week. That's what I said.
That's a great outro. I can't beat that. So do something nice for yourselves this week. I agree, Dr. Vicky.
Yeah.
Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.